The Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast is brought to you by the following sponsors: EliteForm.com, IgnitionAPG.com, PlayUSA at PlayUSA.com, and Sorinex Exercise Equipment at Sorinex.com. And now, the Iron Game Chalk Talk Podcast. Welcome to Iron Game Chalk Talk with your host, Ron McKeefer.
Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Everything you got!
On this podcast, hear Coach McKeefer's straight talk about training, featuring the top strength and conditioning professionals from around the world. And now, here's your host, Ron McKeefer.
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Ron McKeefery, and this is episode number 180. Super excited to have Mike Jolly with us today. Mike's the founder and president of Iron Neck. Wanted to have him on the show to talk a little bit about neck training and just something, obviously it's in the news, it's something that we're hearing quite a bit about. CTE, concussions, concussive forces, and just the overall training of the neck. And so wanted to have him on. He has a product, Iron Neck, that we used up at Cincinnati. And I think, you know, one of the elements that I appreciate about it, and that is something that I think that we're missing the boat on a little bit with training is training, to protect against those rotary forces. And so his product obviously addresses that, but really it's not a pitch for Iron Neck. It's just, us talking about neck training in general. And I think that's an important thing. If you're not training the neck, if you're not working with your athletes in that regard, I honestly believe that you're doing a disservice to your athletes. And so we get in that, we talk a little bit about what CTE is and what you should be training in the neck, regardless of the device. We talk about, kind of balancing out, protective versus performance elements. And then I ask him, simply about, I think that I firmly believe that as strength coaches, we have a book in us, we have a product in us. And so just talking about how he went from kind of concept to completion and some of the steps that he took, and really good conversation. Had a ton of great notes from that, and I know you will too. Before we do, though, when we get to that, I want to recognize our sponsor for this episode, Elite Form. Elite Form has been with me since the very beginning, and fantastic company based in Nebraska, sports science company. Their product, as I've mentioned several times, is a game changer, measuring velocity, force production, right from the rack with three-dimensional cameras. And honestly, the technology is even far superior and far advanced to what's out there and what's being capable of being done by coaches even right now. And so we haven't even quite caught up to all the ways to be able to use it. But if you have not checked out Elite Form, if you've not gone to their social media, make sure to do so. Skip and those guys, phenomenal people, phenomenal company, constantly innovating, constantly putting out some great stuff. And so I'd encourage you to go back, watch the episode I did with Skip. Go out and follow them on social media and say hello to them at the conferences and just tell them how much you appreciate them being a part of Iron Game Chalk Talk and in the process. And just really appreciate them being with us through these years. And so I want to get to this episode with Mike. Sit back and enjoy, and we'll see you on the other side. All right, guys, excited to have Mike Jolly with us. Mike is the owner of Iron Neck and a guy that I got the chance to get to know. We had the product at Cincinnati, saw the guys down at the conference and just know the motivations behind the company, behind the product, behind what they do. And so wanted to have him on the show to share, man. Appreciate you coming on.
Thanks for having me, Ron. Appreciate it.
Mike, let's dig into that story a little bit because we all, as former players, we have buddies, we have teammates, we have guys that, you went through battles and wars with, and you had a couple that went on to experience some challenges, long after football that kind of led to this initiative of yours. Talk about kind of how you got into this business of strength and conditioning in general, and then kind of what's evolved to where you're currently at.
Well, I started training, got a NSAM, training certificate and started training here in Pacific Palisades. And I was working a lot with celebrities. I built my private training gym, and I started getting the high school kids in there because I wanted to really help out the high school kids. So I had some high school kids go on to get scholarships, and that was really fun. Then I finally got into coaching college football through Santa Monica Community College as the O-line coach, went to West LA College, I was the offensive coordinator. And one of the things that I saw when I was there and coaching at Palisades High, serious concussions. I mean, kids banging themselves around, getting concussed, playing. I mean, I remember when I was at UCLA, it was the first day of tackling, and I tackled Freeman McNeil, who played for the Jets. I mean, he had 34-inch thighs, right? I mean, just giant pistons. But I was a freshman, and I wanted to, you know, make a tackle. So I stuck my head into his legs and got knocked out cold. Woke up, smelling salts, asked me what my name was. Where was I? Oh, I'm at UCLA. Great, get back in there. I missed one play, and I was knocked out cold. I mean, you probably went through Bull in the Ring. I remember Bull in the Ring was in Pop Warner football, you know?
Absolutely.
And the longer you stay in the ring, the better, right?
No question.
Just knocking people around. So then, I mean, I knew there was a problem. And I was also the strength coach on all the teams. I would help the kids out in the gyms and in the college teams. Then Lewis Sharp, who was my right tackle at UCLA, 16-year career with the Cardinals, started going crazy. I mean, just went off the deep end, became very abusive, got hooked to crack cocaine, severe drug alcoholic problem. He's in the state penitentiary now. He weighs about 145 pounds.
Wow.
He was 6'8", 340, playing right tackle. And he had a great career. He was an all-pro.
Right.
Other guy I played with at UCLA, Mark Tuane. Great player. Three Super Bowl rings at Dallas.
Wow.
You know, OD'd of cocaine and ecstasy. And the police said he took so much that it would have killed 10 people.
Wow.
So, I mean, he was – and this was 6 or 7 months after he retired. Severely depressed. Both of these players have CTE. I mean, they autopsied Mark Brain. He had severe CTE. So I started thinking, CTE, what is that? Well, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Well, how do we prevent chronic traumatic encephalopathy? So I started doing some research, and I ran across some research from Dr. Robert Cantu. And, you know, he runs the brain clinic at Boston. He's one of the co-directors. He's also on the NFL committee for TBI and all of that. Really smart guy. I sat down and talked with him about it. And he was convinced that neck strength could possibly help prevent concussions, which cause CTE.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so now you get down from CTE. Now, okay, how are we going to prevent the concussions, which causes CTE? So we started talking about that. He stressed the importance of subconcussive blows. And a lot of coaches don't understand what a subconcussive blow is. But Cantu has proved that in one 80-yard drive in the NFL, an offensive lineman can have up to 18 subconcussive blows in one drive.
Right.
Drive, 15,000 in a 10-year career. And those are little tiny mini concussions that you and I don't even know we get.
Right.
Just banging the head every time at the line of scrimmage. And that's why linemen have the worst cases of CTE. The more offensive and defensive linemen have that. Linebackers, you know, follow a close third. But, you know, it's offensive and defensive linemen. So, luckily, when I played football at UCLA, I also wrestled. So I had a huge neck. I had a 23-inch neck. And, you know, that neck probably saved my brain because, you know, you were hitting so hard. So I was sitting there one day. I'm working on my wife's Pilates table, right? Really tough workout on the Pilates table. Actually, it is. She can kick my butt on that thing.
No question.
But my neck was a little sore, and I was thinking about what Dr. Cantu had said about neck strength. So I hooked up two of the springs, put a strap across my forehead, and I just started, you know, doing this stuff.
Right.
Then I went sideways, and I did the sideways. My neck didn't feel any better. And about 2 weeks into this, I started to roll my head around. Roll it. And immediately, I'm not kidding, immediately, my neck felt better.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, my motion increased, my flexibility increased, all the little, you know, little pain started going away. And I said, wow, this might be a good way to handle this.
Sure.
So you know, that's when I started, you know, trying to figure out how to package or how to create a way that we could be consistently training the neck over and over and over again. And you could, you know, you could actually figure out how strong the kids are, you know, through some kind of a regimen. You can't just have a guy, you know, work on springs. You just don't know how strong that is. So that's when I started thinking about that. But you can sort of sense my passion. Sure. I want to protect brains. Me and my wife, we started this company. You know, I left my job that I had and just got going on this thing. Super passionate about it, and just want to protect all the brains out there for all the little kids that are playing from Pop Warner on up.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons to dig in there, and I want to first start kind of like I typically do in the show here, talking about maybe. And you've gone through this process now of creating a product, taking it to market, you know, obviously having a passion and a mission to accomplish things. What's been one of the biggest mistakes you've made in that process and kind of how you learned from it?
Probably the biggest mistake that I made in the process of the company was just me and my wife. Not getting other people involved, not getting some other money to come in, trying to do it all on ourselves, mm-hmm. and not trying to get some investors to come into the company and help out. Because of that, I think I'm about 2 years behind where I should be.
Okay.
And you know, it's a pretty cool story how we got out of that. One of the machine shop that makes the iron net. Danny Baranek. Great friend of mine. His daughter's in the Air Force Academy, and she has a professor that teaches entrepreneurship. And she decided that she would use the Iron Neck, you know, as her sort of test subject. So she had this group in the Air Force Academy working with Matt Schmidt, who was her professor, on how to get this company back up and running and going again.
Right.
Well, Matt fell in love with the product, came out and visited me. And he's my CEO now.
That's great.
So, you know, it's just crazy how, you know, things work out. But, you know, we have just released a brand new version of the Iron Neck. And, you know, Matt and a couple other guys have worked really hard on that. They all were graduates from University of Texas MBA school, Sean Supon and Robert Sherman and Matt. And, you know, the four of us now have really gone after it. But that's the biggest mistake I made, not taking the help when I should have, not realizing that I couldn't do it all on my own with my wife. Just, it was just too hard.
Yeah, it's common, you know, even as strength and conditioning coaches, is you take on, you know, a new role as a head strength coach and you think that you can do it all, but you soon figure out that you can only see so much, you can only do so much. And if you don't have outside influences kind of contributing to that process, then you'll often kind of die out a little bit just because of you know what you know.
Yep.
and sometimes the bigger questions are, you know, the better you are, the more you know that, you know, you're learning what you don't know is what's often going to lead to that innovation, you know.
That's right.
Bring those people in. But well, you know, you talked about CTE and obviously training the neck to kind of prevent concussive forces. I mean, what, you know, the training the neck, it's kind of been polarizing, right? People believe in it, people don't believe in it, people do train it, but are they training the right things? What needs to be trained to help prevent a concussive blow when it comes to the neck?
Okay, so well, I think what's really important first is that we understand what happens when you get concussed. Now, if you blow out a knee, everyone sees it on the field. The knee is blown out, right? And what does the strength coach do? He takes that kid, he rehabilitates him, he strengthens his hamstring, he strengthens his quad, he strengthens the tibialis, the calf muscles. He gets that knee joint as strong as he possibly can, okay? When we get concussed, the only way to prevent a concussion from happening is through force dissipation with a strong neck cylinder.
Right.
If I get hit up here, and if I can transfer the force of that blow out of my skull and down into my body, which can absorb it safely, we're going to have a good chance of preventing a concussion.
Right.
So the thing that we want to do is build up the neck. So let's talk about what happens in the brain when you get concussed. When you get hit hard, 85% of all concussions happen from rotary acceleration of the brain.
Yep.
Okay. Big oblong helmet. Every time you hit, it's going to rotate. It's going to glance off. So we get the neurons, the cells, the brain cells, they twist. All right. And then the potassium escapes out of that cell. When that potassium escapes, calcium invades the cell and basically de-energizes it and shuts it down. Mm-hmm. All the cells around those damaged cells start shutting down also. Now we have a concussion, okay? Or you might be knocked all the way out. It might cause amnesia. There could be a lot of different things it does. But one of the things the brain does is when that happens, it cuts blood flow off to the brain. 50% less blood flow after you get concussed. Why does this happen? Nobody knows. Wow. But that's so important why you have to have a concussion protocol and take kids out. So if you understand what's going on to the cells in the brain, you go, oh, I really need strength in the neck. So let's build neck muscles to dissipate the force of impact to the head down into the body. So let's take a running back, for example. Running down the field. Going down. Linebacker comes from the side and nails him right here. When you get hit there, your brain inside your skull is going to go over to the side of your skull.
Right.
It's going to go over here, right? Now, if you have a weak neck, this blow is going to take you all the way through, and it's going to snap when it hits the end of range of motion.
Yep.
When it snaps, the brain is going to fly off this side of the inside of the skull and fly to the other side of the skull, and then it's going to start bouncing back and forth.
Right.
Brain rattle. That's what we want to try to prevent. So you have a big, strong neck. You get hit here, you have a good range of motion, good flexibility, and strong neck. You can slow this blow down, slow it down before you reach the end of the range of motion. There is no head snap. The brain doesn't fly off the one side of the skull to the other and start brain rattle. So that's what we need to do. We need to strengthen those muscles so they can control a hit to the head. So how do we do that? There's four main muscle groups that we want to try to strengthen. Sternocleidomastoid, of course, is the largest neck muscle. But you'll notice it's a diagonal fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Get a full contraction of the sternocleidomastoid, you're rotating your head.
Right.
Okay, splenius capitis, splenius cervicis, same thing. Diagonal fibers. They rotate the head. So you've got all these muscle groups in the neck that are responsible for head rotation. You want to be able to do this with your head. It's not just this or this. We want to get full contractions out of those neck muscles.
Right.
So if you do something very linearly, you're not getting a full contraction. It's like doing half of a bicep curl, not completing it. But as soon as you do linear and you work in the rotation, sternocleidomastoid on this side completely contracted, splenius capitis, splenius cervicis on this side completely contracted. That's what we want to do. We want to work them out. Now, there's three important parts of concussion prevention. Strength is only one of them. Range of motion is huge because the bigger range of motion you have, the more time you have to stop that blow before it hits the end of the range of motion and snaps.
Right.
And flexibility is the third component, which works in with that. So you've got strength, range of motion, and flexibility. And you've got to find something that can do all three of those. All three. So when you work your neck out, it's super important to make sure you work it out and put it under tension, under load, under pressure, in every possible position you can be on the football field.
Right.
Whether you're wide receiver looking over your shoulder like this, and you get a body blow, it's going to snap your head. You got to be ready. Your neck has to be strong in that position. So that's the key: working the neck muscles out so that they can take any punishment that they can find, they can get out on a football field or a wrestling mat or in an MMA ring, soccer field, whatever it is.
Sure. You said four. There's strength, range of motion, flexibility. What was the fourth?
Oh, if I said four, I misspoke. Okay. There's three.
Okay.
Those are the yeah.
So, and I would add there's probably one more in there in that it's equipment. You can talk about protective equipment as well. With things. And so I want to kind of dig into each one of those a little bit. With strength, obviously – there's lots of different variations of strength training for the neck, right? You got plate loaded equipment, you got select drives equipment, you have manual resistance. Mm-hmm. Most programs will go to. You have air pneumatic resistance. Talk a little bit about the different types of resistance training, their positives and their negatives, and then kind of how our neck addresses that as well.
Okay. So there are three things that every strength coach has to face when they're training an athlete. NFL is 45 minutes. And the buzzer goes off. And the guys just leave. It blows me away, but I've been in a lot of NFL, you know, weight rooms with the strength coaches. Sure. And some of the guys put in their 45 minutes and they're gone. So it's a tough conundrum for strength coaches. You got to have speed and power, you know, and explosiveness. You have to teach all that, but at the same time, you need to strengthen the neck.
Right.
How are you going to work that in timing-wise? The other thing is footprint. A lot of these gyms aren't that big.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure the general public thinks, oh, NFL weight room must be the best and the biggest. And no, college by far has the best, biggest, you know, and weight room.
You don't have to recruit anybody.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's money.
Yeah.
There's a footprint problem. So, you know, if you get a big four-way on our neck, it takes up a big space of your gym, but only one guy can use it. So you've got your timing, your footprint, and then, of course, the other thing is money.
Right.
You know, how much money can you afford to spend? So if we look at linear neck training, what I talked about before about putting the head and neck in every possible position it can be on the football field, under load, under tension, under pressure in the gym, to train it for anything that can happen out there, you know, linear, you're getting linear, okay? In my opinion, just doing linear like this will decrease range of motion, decrease flexibility. Now, you are going to add some neck strength, but perfect example. Florida State, 6-7 months before they won their national championship a couple of years ago, met with Vic Beloria down there and took him through an iron neck workout. And he was just amazed, just like, wow. Then he got on his four-way neck machine. He couldn't even do it
right,
because his neck was so worked out. What you do on a four-way neck is a lot of body, unless you have this perfect form. Again, when you have this perfect little form, how does that mimic what we're doing out on the football field? It
right.
just doesn't. I mean, everything else a strength coach does in the weight room tries to mimic what's going on out there. All the explosiveness, the power and speed. So in my mind, I would never tell anyone not to work out their neck.
Right.
Anything you can do for your neck, do it.
Sure.
Period. But if you have an opportunity to do it different ways, I would. Manual neck training, awesome.
Right.
It's awesome. The problem is you can't rely on players to do it to each other because they're going to start talking about what happened last night, what are they going to do tonight, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And, you know, they're not really working out. So then you got to have a coach do it. Well, how many of their coaches are there?
Sure.
You know, you got 54 guys on an NFL team, 100 guys on a college team, and you need a coach to work each one of their necks individually.
Right.
Now you're running into a time problem. It becomes almost impossible to do that. But it's a great workout. I mean, my neck was 23 inches with wrestling. We did all sorts of crazy neck exercises.
Sure.
Guys sitting on your stomach while you're bridging. Is that good for your neck? No. So you've got to try to work your neck out in a safe way
right.
and get it as big and as strong as possible. So if you look at the iron neck workout, it's all about rotation and flexibility and movement.
Mm.
There's two different forms of resistance. There's a rotational resistance, so there's always a resistance while you turn your head, and then there's a horizontal resistance. It's always pulling your head back to the attachment point.
Mm.
So you're fighting both of those forms of resistance, which really mimic the hits that you can take out on the football field.
Right.
So it really strengthens your neck. And, you know, we have countless reports from strength coaches in high schools that will tell me that their high school kids are putting on 2 inches of circumference in their neck in 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's huge.
No doubt. Absolutely.
You know, Dr. Cantu, Don Comstock, they did that study in Colorado over 2.5 years. And they proved basically that For every 1 pound of neck strength that you add, to your neck, you have a 5% less likely chance of getting a concussion. 1 pound of neck strength is not hard to add to a neck.
Right.
But you're adding 2 inches of circumference. You can imagine the amount of strength that those kids have added to their neck. There's a kid I know you know Doc Kreese.
Yeah.
And, you know, Doc runs a training center here at the Disc Institute in Marina Del Rey. And does a lot of rehab, but he has a lot of Olympic athletes who go through there. That's where they go to get their operations, and he rehabs these kids, and he also trains a lot of kids that are, you know, MMA fighters or wrestlers or football players. And one of the kids is Aaron Pico. Aaron Pico is an amazing wrestler. Missed the Olympics by this much. Mm-hmm. But he started using the iron neck about 5 years ago. And he put on two inches in a month.
Wow.
You can ask Doc about it. He'll tell you. And one day I went in there to check on him, see how these guys were doing. And he's a little guy, Aaron's a little guy, tougher than hell, though. Jeez. He walks up to me, he's like this. He goes, Mike, my head is now a weapon. You know, it's like, you know, because his neck was huge. Right. You know, and if you're a wrestler and the guy can't control your head.
No question.
He, you know, can't control you.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm partial to the iron neck, but I think if you heard the passion that I have for protecting the brain, I mean, this, I believe, is the best way to strengthen your neck.
Sure.
I really, really do. And it's just, we've seen some great results. Talk to Joey. Joey Babson, Clemson. He has 10 iron necks. He did not lose one kid to a concussion last year. Nobody missed a game at Clemson due to a concussion. All year long, they had a 15-game schedule, played for the national championship, and played at the very highest level, obviously.
Right. Well, I think a lot of times, regardless of the product necessarily, you know, if you're going to have the attention to buying 10 iron necks or buying 10 mech machines or buying, you know, you're going to focus on that in your training as well. You know, and I think that's the most important thing is to make sure, you know, if it's just sitting over there, if you have 10 of them sitting in a box and it's not doing anything. Obviously the people that have used iron neck have seen some great results with that. And I think I think the thing that I noticed the most about it, being a former wrestler like you and my son being a pretty legit wrestler as well, is you know, when you're rolling around on a wrestling mat, I mean, that's exactly what you're doing. You're bridging up, you're rolling it out, you're getting full range of motion, you're developing some body weight strength, you know, by being able to handle that. You obviously you have your external load from your opponent when you're bridging out of off your back and things like that. But you're forcing yourself to kind of go through that full range of motion in that rotational way. And I think a lot of people's concern in that situation is loading the cervical spine, you know, in that way. How do you address that concern?
Well, the iron neck never loads the cervical spine. That's the beauty about it. It never does. There's never any pressure from the head going down. One of the things that we preach when you're coaching the iron neck is you want full, long neck, great range of motion. It's always a side or a rotational.
Right.
So you get no loading of the spine at all. We sponsored the United States wrestling team up in Colorado Springs. When I took some iron necks in there, the Greco-Roman coach was great. He was great. He saw the workout. He put his kids through some of the workout. And then he grabs the iron neck. He goes, I'm keeping this on my desk. This is the best thing ever. He couldn't even move his neck. All jacked up. He said, because I can train my guys now, and this isn't going to happen to them. They're going to have strong necks without doing all the crazy stuff. On that combine, in the NFL combine, one of the presentations I gave, I showed a tape of the Bulgarian wrestling team and how they do neck strengthening. And they do a great job of strengthening these kids' necks. But when you see what they do to strengthen the neck, as a strength coach, you just cringe.
Sure.
Talk about loading the cervical spine in bad, in terrible ways.
Right.
So, you know, it's just – that's one good thing about the iron neck. It doesn't not load the cervical spine at all.
Well, I think – I agree with what you're saying. I'm talking, you know, some people, regardless of the iron neck or not, you know, they'll strap up some contraption – you know, and do some rotational loading as they go through. And again, I've heard that challenges the cervical spine as well. Have you heard anything along those lines?
Well, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, it's going to challenge it. It will. But remember, what are the neck muscles there to do?
Right.
They're there to rotate.
Yep.
So the challenge is working them out in a way that's consistent, that you can slowly keep adding weight and adding resistance so it's safe.
Right.
So if you just pile a bunch of stuff on, you know, and, you know, start doing that, that could be a little bit dangerous.
Right.
So you need a way to do it, you know, 1 pound at a time.
Yep.
1 pound at a time. As the kids get stronger, slowly you strengthen the neck. But remember, and this is one of the things that I've had arguments with from a couple strength coaches that are big into neck training. They think that doing all this stuff is nuts. And I say, how can that be nuts?
Right.
That's what you're doing out on the football field. You have to prepare them for out there.
Right, sure.
You can't just do this little safe stuff in here and think that when they go out on the football field, it's going to be okay. It's not going to be okay.
Right.
85% of all concussions happen from rotary acceleration to the brain. Cantu has proven that. 85% rotary acceleration. If we can't deal with that rotary acceleration, guess what? We're going to twist those brain cells, and, you know, potassium is going to escape, calcium is going to come in, it's going to depolarize, de-energize, and you're going to get concussed.
Right.
And that's going to happen. And if you, as a strength coach, realize that if you strengthen a neck to the point where, and you can't say you can concussion proof anyone, obviously, and I can't even say that the iron neck can help prevent concussions.
Right.
Can't do that. We hope that it can help prevent concussions. We hope that it can strengthen the neck and all that. But if a strength coach realizes that if I can keep the best players on the field, those are the kids that hit the hardest. Those are the kids that get you to the playoffs. Those are the kids that help you win championships. But those are the kids that get concussed because they're hitting the hardest and they're running the fastest. But if you can strengthen their necks and hopefully, possibly prevent them from getting concussed and keep them on the field and not on the bench, damn, you've done your job well.
Right, right. No, yeah. I agree with you 100%. That's always been my contention as well, is that it's micro-loading. It's making sure that you're prepared. And just like that wrestler, he didn't start by bridging up on his neck with somebody on top of him. He was rolling it around at pre-practice, you know, for almost dang near 5 minutes sometimes, you know, and developing that over time. I've also another typical complaint of neck training is the overdeveloped musculature of the neck sometimes leads to sleep apnea and supporting, you know, some of these athletes that do have a large neck just off of sheer size, you know, a lot of these linemen that are already suffering from sleep apnea. Obviously the argument is, you know, we'd much rather them have a little bit of sleep apnea than to be in a wheelchair, but right. how do you develop the neck in a way to help prevent sleep apnea as well as, you know, protection from concussive blows?
And I think that's a great point. And that's where the range of motion and flexibility comes in.
Mm-hmm.
It truly does. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've got a big neck. I do not have sleep apnea and I train it all the time, but I have great range of motion. I mean, I'm 57.
Right.
I can go all the way. I mean, you know, I have no limits in my range of motion at all. This is a funny story. Mike Clark, I'm sure you know Mike right. Clark.
We went to the same college.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay. So he was, you know, when he was with the Chicago Bears, he came up to me at the combine and he goes, "Okay, all right, Jolly, I hear this thing's pretty good. Let me try it out." He walks like this. He can hardly move his neck. He goes, "I can't hardly move my neck, but I just want to feel it." I said, "Okay, coach, well, let's put it on there and see what we can do." So I get it on there, and I start taking him through the workout. Just look left, look right, very simple moves. All of a sudden, he's getting this big smile on his face. All of a sudden, he has his neck's moving farther, literally, I'm not kidding, within a minute, Ron, than it's ever moved in years. He loves the iron neck because it increases range of motion and it increases flexibility. And now that he's with the Redskins, he's ordered some for the Redskins too. But he gets it. He understands that that's important. If you just build up tons of mass with no range of motion and flexibility, I can see how that could be a problem with sleep apnea.
Sure. You know, and then, you know, going back to that fourth thing that we were talking about as far as like equipment, why not? I mean, obviously we want to strengthen the neck and you and I are in agreement there 100%. But there'll also be a group of people that'll say, let's put all that money, all that investment, all that time and effort into creating protective equipment to, you know, to find the, you know, find a way to prevent those blows from happening in the first place, you know?
Right.
You know, what, in your opinion, kind of what can be done from an equipment standpoint, that maybe isn't being done yet? And then why is it that, you know, I mean, it's almost a dumb question, but why is it, you know, that you shouldn't, you know, that training the neck must always be included?
Rydell and Schott will be the first people to tell you that their helmets will not, under any circumstance, prevent a concussion.
Yeah, there's nothing that exists right now, for sure.
Yeah, nothing exists right now. And, you know, they're working on it, but if we remember this, it's force dissipation. This is the shock absorber to the head. This.
Right.
Now, I put a big helmet on. It gets more oblong. You add weight.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it can make the situation worse, especially in young athletes, because they got all this weight on top of the head they have to control too. So when they get hit, it'll rotate. It's oblong. It glances off. It rotates around. Remember, 85% of the concussions happen from broken acceleration. So helmets really don't help the problem with concussions. They keep eyes in the head, keep your nose from getting broken, teeth in your mouth, you know, getting contusions on your face and that.
Mm-hmm.
But how is it going to stop something that is caused by rotary acceleration of the brain? It just really can't.
Right.
The only thing it can is this shock absorber. If we build this giant neck, so when you get a blow to the head, it takes that power, that impact, and it diverts it through the neck cylinder into the body that can safely handle it, you're going to protect your brain way better than you can with anything that, you know, you put on your head.
Sure.
And I truly, truly believe that. Yeah, limiting practices, great. You know, limiting hitting in practices.
Right.
That's okay to a certain extent.
Yeah.
If I'm a coach, I don't want to not have my kids hit. And then you go out there on Saturday and hit, you're going to have more injuries than you ever saw before. That's the situation.
Agreed.
Just, you know, teaching proper tackling and all that and getting rid of the targeting. I think we're going in the right direction, but I really don't believe that equipment is the answer. I believe that neck strength is the answer. I mean, you know, some equipment can work. I mean, if a guy has a blown out knee and you put one of those big knee braces on, yeah. It's going to protect, you know, a side blow to the knee so it doesn't, you know, crumple in. But that's a big brace that you can wear. You can't do that on the neck.
Right.
So I just don't believe it's the answer. I believe that neck strength is the only way, and teaching proper hitting and proper helmet placement and using your shoulders more often is the best way to prevent concussions.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I've had, you know, players that, you know, I had a player that we trained neck every single day in college, and then he went on to play pro and played in an indoor football league and died from a broken neck, you know, in a game, you know. And
sure.
As coaches, I mean, the only solace, you know, the only little bit of that I could hold on to was that I know from my end, I gave them the tools to continue to do that and to continue to train and you know, and sometimes things just happen. I totally get that. But I mean, I would have felt terrible and still I feel terrible anyways, but I would have felt even more awful if I didn't feel like I prepared him.
Yeah.
Or gave him a skill set that he was able to take on, you know, and that's where our strength coaches, I mean, sometimes we don't think about that until it is too late, you know. And so if you're a strength coach, you're not training the neck, you're doing your athletes a disservice, bottom line. And
sure.
And so it's important. It's an important topic and it's an important thing. And even though it's kind of in the news right now and it's one of those things where it's easy to kind of, you know, you're hearing it so much. Well, you're hearing it so much for a reason. And so you need to make sure you're adding that to your training. I want to switch gears, you know, just real quick, because I know we got to get going. You know, one of the things I'm always fascinated about is by guys like yourself that had a passion that saw a need and took action, you know, and created something from nothing. You know, I think there's, you know, I'm one of those guys that I think there's a book in all of us. I think there's a product in all of us, you know, as strength coaches, you know, and so, you know, when you had that epiphany, What were the, you know, real quick, just kind of, you know, for the strength coaches that are listening, that they got, you know, that same type of passion for something, what would you recommend them doing as far as going out and saying, okay, I want to try to address this need. These are the steps that I would take to try to get something to maybe even the concept stage, you know?
Well, what I did was, yeah, I actually stopped working so I could do 100% behind this thing.
Right.
I literally got the drawings done. I sat down, got a drafting table. I sat down, drew the thing out, and had it in a machine shop being made within 1 week.
Wow.
After I had conceived it in my head, after I had played around on the Pilates table. But I mean, you just have to throw everything into it.
Yeah.
It's like anything in life. If you don't do it 100%, it's not going to happen. You can't split your time here, split your time there, split your time over here. You've got to be, so focused just on that thing, so focused and move forward towards that direction. So, I mean, that's what I did, And I needed to make it work too. You know, I put myself in a position where if we didn't start selling these things and making it work, I was going to be in trouble. So sort of forced the hand that way.
Right.
But, I got my wife passionate about it and she was really supportive about it. So, that's one of the things that I got. There's a great book that I've probably read 4 times. It's called Good to Great.
Yeah, sure.
And it's not about strength training. It's not about athletics. It's about taking a company from good to great.
Right.
And it's by Jim Collins.
Yep.
Great author. And I knew you were going to ask this. I'm going to read you my favorite quote from that book. He says, "Greatness is not a function of circumstance. Greatness, it turns out, is largely a matter of conscious choice and discipline." How true is that?
No doubt.
No, you're just not born great. It doesn't happen. And when you're a strength coach, he uses a great analogy. But analogy of a bus. And who are you going to put on the bus? So as a head strength coach, who are you going to put on the bus? Who are your assistant strength coaches going to be? What bodies are you going to put on the bus and what positions are you going to put those bodies in? Who's going to be driving the bus and who's going to be sitting in this row and this row and this row? And, you just got to get the right people on the bus and then take off in the right direction. So, I think it's an excellent book for any strength coach, any football coach just to read, because it's just about going from good to great. And being good is one of the biggest detriments to becoming great, because you're good.
Yep.
Right? You're already good.
You don't feel like you need to work any harder.
Yeah, you don't work any hard. You don't have that discipline, that drive. So.
Well, he also talks about in that book, and this is something I often mention to strength coaches, is niching down to something that you can become the expert in, And so just, having a product, it's one thing if you're, I think you gave the example of like Circuit City or somebody that, they were just so all over the place and they didn't own any one category. And so that's why they went out of business. And you have to have a strength coach. You ultimately have to be an expert in one specific area, and for you, that's become the neck. And I mean, there's no question about it. And as strength coaches, that's what we have to continue to fight. One of the reasons why I do the show is because I'm able to now, if I have a question about training the neck, even though we've known each other a little bit, I'm able to call you now and ask a question to an expert and really, get some specific targeted information for my athletes, which at the end of the day, I don't care how I get the information as long as I get it to the athletes, I think that's an important thing, but we always end the show, Mike, with some resources here. You talked about books already with Jim. Give us a app and a website recommendation.
Well, iron-neck.com. That's my favorite website out there.
There you go.
We've got some great resources on the website about neck training. And, I guess that's my favorite website. App? I mean, my favorite app, to tell you the truth, is Amazon Music. So when I'm working out hard, I can listen to any music I want to, and I just, play it loud and just inspire myself.
That's great.
But, I'm not really big into the computers and the apps. So that's my recommendation.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Nothing wrong with that, man. Nothing wrong with that at all. We skipped over one of my favorite, you know, but what's one of the best piece of advice that you've ever received?
It was one word. We were playing Washington at the Coliseum. We were down by 34 points at halftime. Coach Donahue is the coach. Very religious guy. Never swears. Ever. Never heard him swear. And him and Don James, who was the coach of the University of Washington, had a huge rivalry. Right. I mean, they really, really did not like each other at all. And we were in the locker room. And it was at home. We played in the Coliseum back then. And it was at home. And he came in. And he was so mad. He could not get any words out. And finally, at the top of his lungs, he just screamed, "Shit." That freaked us out. He never, ever swore. And then he grabbed all the coaches and he stormed out of the locker room and left us to ourselves. That was the greatest piece of advice. Because it's not about letting other people motivate you.
Right.
We sat in that locker room and we motivated ourselves and we came out and beat those guys. 43-34. We scored 43 points. It was one word, but it went way beyond just the word.
Right.
It was, guys, we've done all we can. This is up to you. This is on your shoulders. Figure it out. Do it yourself.
Right.
You know, and that was just the greatest piece of advice I ever got.
That's an awesome story. That's great. Well, buddy, I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing with everybody. This has been great. I've been sitting here writing notes the whole time. And, you know, and again, like I said earlier, I think if you're not, as a strength coach, if you're not training the neck, then you're doing your athletes a disservice, whether that's with the iron neck or man resistance or whatever. But I think it's also important to figure out that you do have to train the neck in those rotary, you know, to prevent those rotary forces, and you need to add as much range of motion and flexibility. And I think that's sometimes the enemy of strength training, is if you limit your range of motion. And so it's important to have all three of those components that you mentioned: strength, flexibility, and range of motion. So I appreciate that, man. I appreciate the mission. I appreciate what you're doing and how you're doing it. And thanks for coming on the show, brother.
Hey, I really enjoyed it, Ron. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.